Table Talk, a place for honest conversations and getting to meet friends. I am so excited for y'all to get to know or maybe see an old friend. He might be your old friend, Ben Deskavitz.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hi.
Okay, y'all, Ben is our new missions pastor. Just a few months,
yeah.
So exciting.
I'm excited too.
Y'all, it's been super exciting for me. I've gotten to actually work more with you than probably I would this quickly because we're going to Africa in July. And because there was this, Jonathan switched out of missions and you weren't here yet, Jonathan said, hey, Betsy, can you lead the trip this summer?
Yeah.
I was like, absolutely, I love Africa. Y'all know my heart. But then you came on, I've gotten to work with you, and it's been such a joy to kind of be like, hey, there's a reason for me to work with you and get to know you a little bit.
For sure.
Which has been nice, because in a church our size, even staff-wise, a lot of times you don't.
It's huge.
It takes a long time to get to know people. And I know in one of the first meetings we were in together, I went up and said, hey, you know, I'm Betsy. And Levi turned around and goes, you don't know him? And I was like, no, I don't know Ben. But there's this weird thing that people think everybody knows you. Why is that?
We did grow up here. You know, I grew up 8 streets down the road. Pretty much whole life was in this church up until about 21 or 22 when we left for seminary. But we were pretty much born in this place, at Sagemont Baptist Church.
Right?
So
back in the day.
Yeah.
So crazy. And it's fun because if you're standing with Ben in the lobby or in the hallways, you do have a ton of kind of that old Sagemont crowd that come up and they know you and they remember and they talk about silly things you did as a kid or in the hallways or all that kind of stuff. And it's so interesting because Sagemont has grown so much. Mm-hmm. There's also this massive population that's like, I don't know Ben.
Yeah, right.
And even for y'all are coming in where, yes, you do know a ton of people, but you're also having to be super purposeful to get to know a ton of people.
That's right.
Which I think is so sweet. Your sweet wife, Kristen, we're going to talk about your family. I got to chat with her for a little while last night, and she said there was a young couple that had invited y'all over to their house for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And y'all, good job, Sagemont.
Good job
for reaching out and being purposeful to say, hey, I don't know you and I want to get to know you. And so y'all take Ben to dinner.
We love to eat. We love to cook too. We'll cook you food too.
Oh, there you go. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be like, Ben, I'm not taking you to dinner, but I'll come over. You can feed me. That's so fun. Okay. So first things first, tell me just your salvation story. How did you come to a relationship with the Lord?
Yeah. So, I think I was 6 here. I think it was right after VBS.
Cool.
And I remember sitting at our dinner table and asking my mom, how do you become a Christian? Mm. And my mom, who was very heavily involved here at Sagemont with kids, led me to the Lord. Ralph Edwards baptized me.
Cool.
Which is pretty cool. And you could say I have the traditional, you know, Christian raised in a Southern Baptist church story, you know, very heavily plugged in here at Sagemont, participating in almost everything that we did in the youth, whether it was mission trips or playing in the worship band.
What'd you play?
I play drums.
Drums?
Self-taught. Love drums.
Okay. Are we ever going to see you up there on a Sunday morning?
I keep telling Misty, hey, use me.
That'd be so fun. One day we're like, that's Ben.
Yeah. Give Kevin a break. So,
right.
But I have played many times before here.
That's so fun.
It's a lot of fun. I love it. It's one of my most favorite things to do, and to make sausage. It's one of my most favorite things to do.
Cool.
So, yeah. Anyways, back to salvation. More important. Where was I?
You did all the things growing up.
Yeah.
You did the things.
I participated in everything as, you know, as I knew, but at the same time had secret sins going on and almost living a double life. And it was about 18. I remember this is a very side note, but I developed a very deep hate towards my father. And I remember sitting in the HRA. I can't remember if it was Chuck Schneider preaching or a guest preaching, but he preached on if anyone has hate in their heart, they cannot be my disciple. And Jesus spoke directly to me and said, you cannot be my disciple if you hate your father. So I remember driving down Hughes, going to the youth building with my dad, right in front of Church's Chicken. I remember this, which is no longer there.
It's not there.
I looked at him and I said, Dad, I've hated you for a really long time. And I was in the sermon on Sunday and he said, you can't be my disciple if you hate your father. So I want to ask for your forgiveness. I want to repent to God for the sins that I've been doing. And I hope our relationship can be restored. So it was that day that we both committed together to,
wow,
to care for one another, love for one another, stop our secret sins and follow the Lord. And so my relationship with my dad was great and with the Lord.
That's amazing. And I think it's so encouraging because I recently was sitting with a parent who was struggling with, they're like, I feel like my kid hates me. What do I do? And I think so often as parents, we want to fix it. And man, just praying that the Lord will speak to them through whatever means necessary, that can happen.
Yeah.
That's such an encouragement. Mm. That's huge. I love that so much. And so do you have siblings?
I have two. I have an older brother, Joe.
Okay.
He's 2 years older than me, and then a younger brother, John.
Okay.
And he's 3 years younger than me.
Okay. Awesome. And tell everyone your mom's name, because some people might know her.
Cherry Niskavitz.
She's so sweet.
She is pretty awesome.
She's awesome. When I taught at Bay Area Christian, I got to work with her some, which was, she's just the kindest, most loving person. Mm-hmm. She was so good with kids.
What a servant. She's modeled very well for me.
Yes, absolutely. I love that so much. Okay. So, grew up in the church, faith in Jesus, purposeful, got it right, 18, did you go to college? Straight to seminary? What'd you do?
I was an idiot.
No, you weren't.
Out of our class, you know, Jonathan Morrison graduated with me.
Where'd y'all graduate from?
Adobe High School.
What year?
2001.
Okay.
And I think out of 800, I was 680. So I was on low on the totem
pole. That's okay.
I didn't care about school,
you
really.
You got your diploma.
I did. And then it took me quite a few more years after that to get any other degrees.
Okay.
But I went to San Jack, went there for a while, quit, started working full-time at an insulation company.
Okay.
That was hot and itchy and knew I didn't want to do that
for
my whole life.
Sure.
So then the Lord led us to New Orleans Theological Seminary, went there for 4 years, did my bachelor's and master's in four years, and then went straight to the mission field.
Mission field. Okay, so when did you and Kristen meet?
Kristen and I grew up here.
And she grew up here. What's her maiden name, too? Because people...
Kristen Melby.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like people have to make all the connections.
Right. She's daughter of Carol Wilds, and her grandparents were Anna and Dale Wilds, and Anna worked here. So
that's, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool. Which is funny because her mom and I both worked at Bay Area at the same time too. So I'm like, I know both of your parents, but I didn't really know y'all. So that's so cool. Okay. So y'all both grew up here. So did y'all meet in student ministry?
Yeah, we were. Back then, Keith Smith, they did a great commission mission trips. And there was Houston, somewhere else in Texas, Seattle, and England. Everyone paid the same price, and you couldn't pick where you went. They picked for you.
Wow.
She got put on the same trip with me to Seattle. She was dating someone else at that time. Nevertheless, many thought that we would date after that trip.
Okay.
But 2 years passed.
Wow.
And David Cole, Bill Cole's son, was with me. After this trip, we would always chat on AOL Instant Messenger just to say, hey, how's it going? Or we'd see each other at church because she worked up here at some point too when I was a youth intern.
Okay.
She was working next to Carol Martin.
Okay.
Doing data entry.
All right.
And we would always see each other maybe at lunches or something like that. And it was at camp that summer that we both served. She said she saw something different in me than she saw 2 years ago. Back then, she thought I was very lazy, very sleepy, and wondering why did I even come on this mission trip. We were going. Me and David were going to this coffee shop, and he was like, "Hey, you should invite Kristen." And I was like, okay. So we were chatting there on AOL Instant Messenger. And she said, okay, I'll come. I said, okay, here's the address. And he hits me. He's like, no. Tell her you'll pick her up.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, thanks.
There you go.
So, yeah.
You need friends.
Never had a girlfriend
before. You need friends.
Before.
There you go.
And she said, okay, I'll meet you at the church. If you would have given me the address, I probably wouldn't have come. So he saved me. Thank you,
That's
David Cole.
That's nice. Love it.
So, yeah, we've been married almost 20 years. Okay. December 30th will be 20 years. We have four awesome boys.
Yes.
Crew, Alistair, Jedwin, and Merrick. Our children's names and their ages are 17, 15, 13, and 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's so fun. And your oldest crew is graduating.
He is.
So fun.
Yeah.
I love it. So went to New Orleans, went to seminary in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. When did y'all know that you were like, we're going to be a part of the IMB, we're going to be missionaries? Mm. And in that process, do you pick where you're going? Do they just send you somewhere? How does all that work?
Kristen at 16 knew that she was not going to live the normal American life.
Okay.
That's what the Lord told her, and that she would go to the hard places.
Wow.
And she said, well, as long as it's not India. We lived in India, and we lived in Pakistan. Uh-huh. Which, at 19, shortly after that restored relationship mm-hmm. with my dad, mm-hmm. I was on a mission trip to Costa Rica. It was not one that was associated with Sagemont, mm-hmm. so it was the first one I'd ever been on apart from them. And I was behind the stage. My friend was preaching, and the Lord said specifically, you will do international missions. So we submitted to that. Knowing that we wanted, we weren't married at that point, but knowing that that's what we both wanted mm-hmm. to do, helped our relationship.
Absolutely. Because if only one of you did, that would have been a whole hard thing.
Yeah, it would have been messed up.
Yeah.
So our goal was go to the mission field, and we tried several ways through several different organizations to try and go, and none of them worked out.
Okay.
And we went for a prayer conference at the seminary in New Orleans mm-hmm. when David Platt was there.
Mm-hmm.
This was before David Platt was David Platt.
Okay.
And
so it wasn't when he was president of IMB or anything. This was way
this
before.
This is pre-radical.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, like pre-Brook Hills. Like,
yeah.
So he had just left, I think, New Orleans.
Okay.
So anyways, we were there praying specifically for the Lord to just give us understanding on where he wants us to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were led to New Orleans, and through that whole process being there, IMB would come on campus once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we just started the process about halfway into our time in New Orleans.
Okay.
So Karachi was where we served, Karachi, Pakistan.
I was like, what's that?
Yeah.
Okay.
a little city of 25 million.
Oh my gosh.
The fourth least livable city in the world. Least livable.
Why? Why is it least livable?
Trash, instability, government problems.
There's so many people.
Yeah, 25 million.
Oh my word.
It was awesome. Loved it. But no one wanted to go there for specific reasons.
Sure,
but, you know, at that time specifically, even there were a lot more. There was a lot more unrest in the mm-hmm. city, whether it's bomb blasts or terrorist stuff that would happen. And on the jobs for IMB, there was a job for it, but no one was taking it. We were like, well, we want that. Since 2005, November 2005, that was when I went to Pakistan for the very first time.
Okay.
To help with earthquake relief. But at that time, we had another plan. We were going to move to Germany. So I wasn't even on my radar to go there. And through some other friends that we were going to move there with, she was from Germany, her husband was from Costa Rica, and we went to Costa Rica to visit them, to talk with them about moving.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time we were there, like, we never could have the Germany talk.
Hmm.
And I remember being frustrated one night thinking, we came all the way down here. This is pre, like, Zoom and...
Yes, right, yeah.
Kristen and I were at dinner, and I have my shrimp and my rice about to be in my mouth, and she said, well, what about Pakistan? I remember just setting my fork down, and I just said, well, what about Pakistan?
Yeah.
So ever since January 2006, that was, like, laser focus on Pakistan.
Wow.
Like, we're going to go there. And so every decision was kind of based on how are we going to get ourselves there.
Wow.
So huge journey. And we didn't make it to Pakistan until, or if you want to say it properly, Pakistan.
Yes.
Till January 20th, 2014.
Okay. From January 2006 to January 2014.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay. Real pause. Explain IMB. Because we throw those letters around, and some people don't know what that is at all.
Yeah, totally. The International Mission Board is Southern Baptist mission organization that you do give to through the cooperative program, through another missions offering called Lottie Moon. You'll start hearing that around November, December. We actually provide funds to the International Mission Board to 100% fully support missionaries on the field. So I'm not raising funds necessarily when I'm overseas. When we have opportunities to come home and visit, you know, for our stateside time, mm-hmm. we are going to churches, talking about the International Mission Board, right. talking about Lottie Moon. But
you don't have to personally raise your own funds
right.
to go, which right. so many missionaries,
yeah,
they
totally.
Do. And I know I've had friends that that's the reason that finally they were like, and we're done.
Mm.
This is so we're spending more time trying to raise our funds than we are actually getting to do mission work,
right.
which I think is one of those super cool things about the IMB and even the Southern Baptist Convention, that they make that a way for people to go.
Right.
It's really cool.
Right. It's an awesome organization. We loved working with them, and it even broke our hearts leaving it.
Yeah, sure.
Not that Sagemont's not a bad deal, but, you know,
no,
it's great to be here.
Yeah.
But hard to leave that.
Absolutely. So in all those years between knowing this is where we want to go and making a way to get there, did y'all go other places? Like, did y'all live other places?
We lived in New Orleans. Oh, I'm sorry. So, like, when we left to go to IMB has a training center in Virginia.
Okay.
So we started, okay, so that would have been January of 2012.
Okay.
So we were there for 3 or 4 months. Then we went to Vancouver, Canada for 3 or 4 months for another urban mega city training. Because most missionaries, if you don't know this or not, are not from large cities like Houston. They're from back cities,
really?
Like small cities.
Okay.
Have never.
Why is that, do we think?
I don't know.
Interesting. Okay.
Just the majority are not from major cities.
Okay.
So riding on the feeder, or, you know,
driving
on 8 lanes of traffic like on I-10 or whatever is very uncommon to people.
Yeah.
So moving.
Listen, I grew up in Houston, but not in Houston.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I say, oh, I'm from Houston. I'm not from Houston. I'm from Alvin and League City, you know, very different.
Perfect example.
Yes. Yeah. You know, very different. So even mass transit or walking around or all that kind of stuff isn't what I normally do on my day-to-day basis.
Right.
So that makes sense.
And Karachi driving is not like Houston driving at all.
If you've ever been overseas, usually.
Come on one of the trips.
Usually true. Yeah. Yeah.
So it is completely different. But in Vancouver, it was this kind of urban city training. From Vancouver, we went to India.
Okay.
Went to a small village for language school up in the mountains for 4 months.
What language?
Urdu. We speak Urdu.
I'm going to have you pray at the end in Urdu.
TK.
Because he did that for us in one of our staff meetings, and I just...
Oh, gosh.
It's super cool.
It's going to be horrible.
No, it's going to be good.
So we were there for 4 months. We had to go out to renew a visa in Thailand. We lived there for 45 days. Then we came back to India, lived in Delhi for 1 year.
Wow.
Had to go find my own house. My supervisor said, when you get to Pakistan, you are going to have to do this all on your own. So you can call me, but go do this on your own.
Wow.
So I had to navigate trying to find a new house in India. Then from there, we went to a meeting in Dubai for a few days. And then January 20th, 2014 at 6 a.m., we're flying into Karachi. I remember tearing up thinking, this is home.
Wow.
And then I had the same opportunity when we came back to Houston after we just came back recently, flying over Houston, seeing the green and thinking, this is home.
Oh, I love that.
And tearing up again. So yeah.
Okay, in all of that, married, having babies.
Yeah, we had one over there too.
Okay.
So
that's a whole deal.
It's much cheaper.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So doing all of that. Now, when you're in Pakistan, or even when you're in India for a year, those different times, who tells you what you're supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is there a ministry you're partnered with that you're going and helping them do ministry? Are you on your own trying to do a church plant or doing door-to-door evangel? Like, what do you do? And who decides what you do?
India was a little bit different because we weren't necessarily on a team.
Mm-hmm.
my supervisor, heavily invested in me when he was in town. He connected me to a national person that spoke. He was a different people group, spoke Bengali, but he also spoke Urdu, okay. But spoke no English.
Oh, wow.
So I had to get, you know, really good at practicing Urdu with him. Mm-hmm. But we would pair up and we would go out and do evangelism. Okay. Our focus was Muslims in India, mm-hmm. Speaking Urdu. A majority of them do speak that language. So we would focus in my neighborhood. There's an area called Nizamuddin that we focused on, mm-hmm. and we would go there, talk with people. We'd follow up in other parts of the city with other seekers who mm-hmm. would be willing to sit down, and many times they were illiterate, and so we'd have to audio Bible or something like that and mm-hmm. just kind of study with them. But in India, that's kind of what it looked like. In Pakistan, we joined a team of only other two other people.
Okay.
But they were there for about a year and a half, and then they left, so then we were alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say it was 2 years after that, another family came and joined our team. So we were the Karachi team for a few months, and then our leadership decided to split our teams so that we could, in the future, grow our teams and have mm-hmm. two separate teams focused in Karachi. I was the Karachi mega segment urban leader. So okay. I only focused on urban work.
Okay.
There's another interesting fact for you. Most mission statistics are based on village work.
Yes.
Not urban work.
True. I would agree. Yeah, I would think that was true.
So I never went to villages.
Okay. You were downtown.
Downtown, solely focused in Karachi all the time.
How interesting.
So I love the cities. And so I think that's why I like Houston a lot, too.
Yeah.
And Houston has so many kinds of people here, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's often exciting for me because I get to eat their foods as well. But we had supervisors.
Yeah.
We had, in the IMB, you have, it's called affinities. So I was a part of the South Asia affinity.
Okay.
And so we would every 3 years make affinity goals. Okay. For evangelism, for, you know, church planting.
Mm-hmm.
And some places in the world are moving faster than others in growth like that. We often felt that Pakistan is very hard soil.
Mm.
So I can't come to you and say we had billions of salvations.
Right.
I wish one day there will be. That's the promise of Revelation 7:9,
right.
That representatives from every nation, tribe, people, and language will be worshiping mm-hmm. in heaven. So mm-hmm. maybe one day the Pathans will come to faith and the Sindhis and the Balochis, but it hasn't been so much yet.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I did all kinds of stuff there, from whether it was English trainings on university campuses or being asked to perform a email workshop, how to write an email, but using that opportunity to share the gospel on these campuses or on these hospitals.
Wow.
We've done door-to-door, we've done shop-to-shop, we've done all kinds of things.
Talk a little bit about, I think so often when we talk to people about sharing the gospel and why don't they,
mm-hmm.
I think oftentimes they go, well, I don't know if the person is going to accept.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if they're actually going to do it. And so then that makes me nervous because we, in this weird way, we feel like it's our responsibility.
Yeah.
It's our responsibility to share. It's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to do the work. Mm-hmm. But for years, you had to like really live that life of I'm called to do this thing and I'm going to be obedient mm-hmm. and I'm going to trust God with the results of that.
Mm-hmm.
How did you ever struggle with that? How did you get to a place where you were like, that part's up to the Lord?
Man, can I pull out a quote to read
to you? Yes, please.
Okay. So I remember, I have to find it really fast.
No, you're
but,
good.
I was in, well, number one, I was telling you before that it's a very hard
right.
soil, and I don't remember at what year I read this, but Iran is close to Pakistan, Afghanistan is right above it, India is right next to it, Nepal, Bangladesh, and in all of those places, people are coming to faith.
Hmm.
But it wasn't always like that.
Right.
So I remember reading this quote, Robert Bruce, a Scottish missionary to Iranian Muslims in the late 19th century,
cool.
wrote home to his supporters, "I am not reaping the harvest, I scarcely claim to be sowing the seed. I am hardly plowing the soil, but I am gathering out the stones. That too is missionary work. Let it be supported by loving sympathy and fervent prayer. And that article,
oh my gosh,
yeah, was on the Desiring God website. Wow. And it was all about how right now all of the people coming to faith in Iran. And so it was a wow. huge encouragement to me that, like, there was a time in the late 1800s when many Punjabi people came to faith in Jesus in what is now Pakistan. Mm-hmm. But that's only one people group. The majority of Christians in Pakistan are only one people group. Mm. So it's a glaring example to the church every time that they meet that the Great Commission isn't complete because there's still so many not there.
That don't know.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Yeah. That's really good that doing the work. So, I mean, and I say this all the time. I'm like, listen, you could be the one seed that leads to five seeds later.
Yeah.
And you don't know until we get to heaven.
Yeah. And that's what that quote like did to me. Like, I think I decided that day, Lord, if I'm here just to pick out stones, great. And we did see, I would say in our time there, we saw three or four salvations. I think it's four. But our first fruit, our first salvation came 8 years into being there.
Wow.
So if you know anything about William Carey, I think it was 7 or 8 years in the same way. Like he didn't see any salvations until then. But we still have to be faithful.
It's worth the work. Gosh, it's worth the work for one. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that. What an encouragement that for all of us to just go, don't give up doing the thing that God, it's obedience. Mm-hmm. It's the obedience.
Right.
I love that. That's really cool. Didn't know we were going to take that little turn, but I love it so much. That's super awesome. Yeah. And so, okay. So how long were y'all there? 10 years, 12 years?
Overseas, 12.
Okay.
About a year and a half in India. And then the rest of the time in Pakistan.
The rest there. Mm-hmm. And y'all would come back and forth furlough. Isn't that what they call it? Furlough.
Mm-hmm. Furlough, stateside.
Yes. You get to come back and kind of rejuvenate. Also go visit other churches, maybe get training, do different things like that. Mm-hmm. When y'all would come back, I knew who your wife was because we have your oldest and my youngest are the same age. Mm-hmm. And so they'd be in class together or VBS or just different things like that. But so y'all came stateside in what, October, September?
This year?
Yeah.
No, we came January.
Was it just January?
Yeah.
Okay. Look at me. Okay. You never know. Feels like forever, Ben. No, I'm just kidding. So y'all came in January.
Mm-hmm.
Not planning on staying.
No.
Planning on going back.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, it had to be earlier than January. Yeah. No, God worked really fast. So y'all came in January just for a time.
No, we experienced a lot of difficulties in the last year and a half. And we got placed on a medical leave to come home to receive care and counseling.
Great.
Through Sagemont Counseling Center.
Yeah.
But still fully funded by the IMB.
Home for a season, but planning on going back, still IMB missionaries, all the things.
I mean, that was our heart's desire, knowing that we didn't consider we'd come home this early, I would say. You know, 12 years, that's not a short time.
No.
But still, we were like, no, 20, 25 years over there, we'll be good. So do you want me to tell you the rest of the story?
Yes, please.
So, we were told we were coming home on that medical leave, and it was sometime around end of Jan or mid-Jan. I wrote Jonathan and said, hey, get your restaurants ready because we always have a tendency to eat weird stuff.
Yep. He's a big foodie. I know. Yeah.
So, that was on a Wednesday and I came home on Friday, saw him Sunday. We planned to meet. Then we met on Wednesday that next week and kind of explained what we've been walking through the season of life. We've been walking through and just kind of saying just kind of confused on, you know, what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, let me confuse you some more. Last week when you messaged me 2 hours before that, I was promoted to this other position. Are you interested in the mission pastor role here? And I just remember saying, I don't know what I'm interested in right now.
I don't know what I'm doing.
So,
man.
Yeah. Very unexpected.
Did you go home and immediately share that conversation with Kristen? Because I could imagine in all the other things going on, you're like, nope, not adding that to the thing right now. We'll talk about that later.
I think it was. I think I did go that night and tell her, and she was just like, what?
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, and she was like, no.
Yeah.
No, never.
Like, right.
We said we don't want to do that.
Right.
We said...
We said yeah, not
we
a church.
Said this,
we
God.
Said, right? Yeah, God's like, uh-huh, yes.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Man.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was January, and then you came on, like we said, like March.
March 18th.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
So quick,
mm-hmm.
what did the Lord walk you, Christian, your boys through to get to a place where you're like, this is what we're supposed to do?
Well.
And I'm sure it's still a process.
It's still, I mean, yeah, we're still walking through culture shock. I mean, I've been gone 12 years, 16 if you count New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
but like, I am not the same person I was
right.
12
For sure.
years ago.
For
I'm,
sure.
I've lived so much of my life over there.
Yeah.
Like, there's still things I do that are more, you know, Asian than American
right.
or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just, it still takes adjustment. But I remember telling her, and I mean, we were struggling with what do we feel the Lord has, is he sending us to? Because Kristen was saying, everything up to this point in our life has been clear. Pakistan, very clear.
Right.
New Orleans, very clear. Sagemont, not clear. Not clear at all.
Right.
And Kristen had said at one time that it was easier for her to live in Pakistan than to live in America at this time. And one of her friends said to her, well, don't you think the Lord is calling you to the hard things.
Wow.
But she said, Ben, I'm gonna need you to lead this one because it's really hard.
Right.
Sure. I remember I went to, there is a park on NASA Road 1 next to the water right near the Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know the name.
Yep.
I remember sitting there making a list of the pros and cons of being home.
Right.
Another part of the story is my brother asked me to pray about coming home to help with family members who are sick and, you know, a 92-year-old grandmother with dementia, living with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember him asking that. Then the next week, we get this medical leave. Then the next week, Jonathan asked me. So I was just like, what are you doing, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
So I remember going to that park, making my pros and cons list. After that, going and walking in Armand Bayou for like another few hours. Just took like the whole Friday to pray. And I wrote Jonathan, I think it was the next day, and I was like, I'll at least interview. And so interviewed. Then time went on, and then other interviews happened after that with Mike Schumacher and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember what it's all called, but nevertheless. Then I had dinner with Jonathan one night, and he said, well, if you want it, it's yours. So I remember just telling Kristen, if they say yes, we're going to say yes.
Mm.
Not because we are wanting to leave Pakistan, not because we're upset with IMB or anything like
sure.
that, but that the Lord is leading us to something different, and it's going to require faith when it's not clear.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
It goes back to that whole thing of obedience.
Right.
When doors open and you're like, God put this in front of me. I'm going to be obedient and walk through. I don't know what the other side looks like, but I'm going to be obedient.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Have your boys done, were they excited? Because you say home, but this wasn't, you know, I mean, it wasn't.
No.
And so y'all all had a life.
Mm-hmm.
And so making a transition,
mm-hmm.
When y'all told them, were they like, what? Or were they more like, cool, new adventure? I don't know.
We, you know, I guess it was, it would have been in January when I talked with Jonathan, but we didn't talk to our boys about the possibilities until like maybe a week or two before Jonathan let us know.
Okay.
So there was this mystery. They knew we were home for our medical leave, mm-hmm. getting counseling, but they didn't know about any other things. Mm-hmm. But anytime we come home, it's always exciting for them because they get to see friends that they,
right.
you know, connect with, get good to be able to be around our family,
yeah.
see cousins and all that kind of stuff. So when we told them the news, they were, of course, thinking about, even our oldest, I think, thought about the things that he would miss. Mm-hmm. Because the IMB, they heavily invest in us. They provide, you know, different retreats or large group gatherings mm-hmm, where we get together. Mm-hmm. And these people become your family.
Right.
You know, whether it's older, younger, they become, you know, distant grandparents.
Yeah.
Distant brothers and sisters, mm-hmm, nephews, mm-hmm. Nieces. And so there's that aspect of leaving that
right.
that really, you know, tore us up,
yeah.
knowing that we're not going to be a part of the same meetings
right.
anymore. But there's the other side of it that Alistair, my second son, he said, you know, not the American life in a negative way, but he said, Dad, I've never really lived an American
yeah.
life. I've been overseas since I was three.
Right.
And so now I get that opportunity to, you know, connect with
right.
friends that maybe I haven't got to connect
mm-hmm,
with on a deeper
mm-hmm.
level, knowing that I'm always leaving.
Right.
But now I'm staying.
Yeah.
So I think it's exciting, you know, for all of us
yeah.
to experience some new stuff together.
Yeah. So. And I think it's so important for us to remember and to just a good reminder of doing things that are right doesn't mean they're always easy.
Yeah.
Or happy,
right?
Because you do both. Right. It's like, I'm thrilled to be here, but it's hard to leave that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be okay with holding both.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And processing days when you're sad or the kids
yeah.
are sad and
right.
going, man, I'm hate that we're missing that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when you go, but Lord, you brought us here.
Yeah. It still comes in waves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What would you say is the one thing you're most excited about? Specifically at Sagemont with missions
yeah.
that you're pumped about?
Two things. When I came on, they had talked about wanting to develop a deeper relationship with the IMB.
Mm.
We have given, you know, finances
sure.
to the IMB, supported them for many years, but that relational aspect was missing. And so they asked me to help develop that.
Cool.
And so I'm excited about that. And then the other part I'm most excited about, because not everybody's going to go internationally.
Sure.
In case you didn't look outside, you have a lot of people here in Houston. You have a lot of kinds of people.
Absolutely.
So helping Sagemont Church, Sagemont members, love the Lord, abiding in Him, and being His mouthpiece to Houston is another part that I'm excited about.
That's gonna be good.
If we're not going to go there, we're going to go here. And I think there are multiple ways in which we can be involved and sharing the gospel, whether you know how to or not.
Yeah.
I think the time is now. And the Lord has done a great orchestration of bringing all kinds of people here from,
mm-hmm.
you know, Afghanistan may not affect you over there, but He brought a lot of Afghanis
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
Whether it's great or not, or whether it's, you know, appropriate or not, it doesn't matter.
No.
The Lord brought all kinds of people here, and we get the opportunity to engage them with the gospel. So I'm
yeah.
excited about that. And yeah.
I guess it'd be really, really cool. And I will say, y'all, I know, at least I think I know, now for the foreseeable future, you're going to be training people on how to share the gospel.
Yeah.
Like a specific tool, like a specific thing. And then I've sat through this training, and it's so funny because he goes, okay, now practice.
Yeah.
Turn to your neighbor and practice,
yeah.
which we all go, that makes us uncomfortable. It's okay to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, now go out and actually do it, and then tell me when you do it
mm-hmm.
With someone. And so it's the training, but then there's also going to be the feet to, hey, Sagemont Church, we're going to train you, because we've said, share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone and everyone can do it. You don't have to be trained. Read the Bible. God changes you. You can go share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But so often people don't, because they go, I don't know what to say.
Right.
I don't know how to do it.
Right.
But then they get the training, and then It's going to be lots of opportunity to actually go do it, which is going to be really fun. So, y'all, as you're looking at things that are coming up, if you see, hey, a training with Ben, come get trained.
Yeah.
Because then there is going to, listen, we need the church to be the church.
Right. And we'll do it together. It's not just send you out on your own. Being involved in the Great Commission together, I think, is what even helps solidify us more as believers walking together through trial, through the good and the bad.
Absolutely.
Not just receiving. We get to actually go and apply it on the streets.
It's going to be awesome. So. Y'all, when you see those things, jump on them. Jump in it. It's going to be awesome. Thanks for sharing your story.
Yeah.
Y'all, when you see Ben, go introduce yourself. He's, of course, trying to get to know lots of people. But go introduce yourself. Take him to lunch, he and his beautiful wife, or they'll cook for you. He says they will.
Yeah, we do.
They
we
will
love cook.
Cook for you. Yeah. But I appreciate you coming
Thank you.
Just sharing and all you're doing. I know you've got lots on your plate with all the things, and you're already doing a really good job. So we're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Will you pray for us? Is it Urdu?
Urdu.
Urdu to close us out.
All right, that'd be awesome. Very simple.
I love it. We'll see. Right. Most of us won't know, so it's okay.
There you go. Okay. Mere saath dua kare. Hamare aasmani baap, hum shukrguzar is din ke liye ki hum guftugu kar sakte hain, hum ek dusre ko hauslafzai kar sakte hain, aur hamari dua hai ki hamare Sagemont Church hum farmawardari se khushkhabri sunayenge logon ko, aur hamari dua hai ki hamare ecclesia ki vasile se tumhare jalal dikhayega, tumhare mohabbat ek dusre ko bhi dikhayenge, ke hum ek dusre ko mohabbat karenge, aur ke logon ke samajh jayenge ke hum yesu ke shagird hain. To ye hamari dua aur ye cheez hum yesu ke naam se mangte hain. Amen.
Amen. I love that God knows all the languages, and I love that so much. It's beautiful. Thank you for being here. Y'all, enjoy the rest of your day or evening, and we will see you next time on Table Talk.
See you.